Okay, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom to those who will hear this message later. What a great week. What a wonderful, wonderful week. And words cannot express how happy I feel to see what Yahweh is doing in our camp and to see us learning and growing. And wow, this is really a great experience. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for that. I want to give a message today on Yahweh's pure language. Because we just heard in the Torah portion that there will be, the Bible says, a clear lip or pure language that will be taught in the kingdom. And I wondered for the longest time, what is that language? I used to think it was Hebrew, but I realized it's not Hebrew anymore. So today I want to share that language. I said this in the class about the problem with trying to just be a positive person. The problem with trying to be positive is that you have to think about it. It's not automatically. So if you have to think about being positive, it's not good enough. That you have to condition yourself to automatically do something a certain way through your nervous system, to automatically see every situation through the eyes of Yahweh. And I realized, trying to learn different languages, that really language is the same way. You can't try when you're learning a language to translate. So I can't hear something in one language and then think in my mind to translate in another language, because by the time you do it, it's too late, you know? And if you're a translator, forget about it. You know, you'll never get anything done. So you can't learn a language by interpreting what you hear from one language to the other, but you must memorize the words and phrases of a language and think in that language to truly understand it. And I thought about this because, as you know, you can go to college and you could learn any language, French or whatever. And then I thought, well, little kids that are 1 and 2 and 3 years old, you know, they're not learning language on a college level. They're basically just memorizing. They're memorizing what's taught to you. And it doesn't matter what language it is. It's all the same way. Anywhere you go in the world, a child learns a language simply by memorization. So it is the same with the true language of Yahweh. We need to train ourselves to automatically think in the language of agape. That is Yahweh's pure language. The language of agape. And not to translate it from our natural language of our human nature. So the same way that I can't think of, you know, I see a Hebrew person and Manishma, how are you? You can't take it and translate it. It's the same thing that's going to work in Yahweh's pure language. You can't take it from your human nature and try to translate it into the language of agape, because it's not going to work. It's got to be part of you. You have to make it a part of you. We're the same way. When you know a language, like now, I'm speaking and my mind is going as fast as my, you know, my brain, and I'm not sitting here thinking how to say each word or what sentence is going to come out. It just automatically happens. So this is what has to happen. We have to train ourselves to speak Yahweh's language. We have to train ourselves to have it as part of us, part of our nervous system, part of our breath, part of our life, that when any situation comes up and you have to speak it, it's not going to be a thing where you're going to think about it. You're not going to think, well, how do I say this in Yahweh's language? It'll just be automatic, the same as it is with any other language. So we know that if you look at the word love in Scripture, there's basically three types of love. One is a romantic love, the way a man and a woman, they come together and they get married. One is a friendship type love, right? The congregation of Philadelphia that we're trying to be like. That's a friendship type love. But the third type of love, the agape, that I'm going to talk about today, Yahweh's language, it's literally his language, is an unconditional love. It's a love that in your human flesh, without the Holy Spirit, you can't even understand it. It's a love that is absolutely unhuman to even have. It's only by the Ruach HaKodesh that can help us to learn this language. And again, it's got to transfer. It's got to transform your human body in order to learn this language, or you're not going to learn it. Because now we're speaking the language of human nature, not the language of agape. So 1 John 4:7-8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of Yahweh, and everyone who loves has been generated from Elohim and knows Elohim. The one who does not love has not known Elohim, because Yahweh is love." Yahweh is agape. So it's not just an emotion that he has. That is literally what he has manifested in. So when you look at what makes the Father and the Son ikad, it's the Ruach. And that Ruach is what makes him love. It's a Ruach of love. It literally is what he is. It's not just what he exhibits. It's not an emotion that he does. It's what he is. So anything he does, any action he does, any judgment he does, anything that he does is in agape. From the creating of the earth to everything we see in the Bible to the great kingdom that's coming. Because that's just what he is. Yahweh is love, and that is what his spirit is made up of. Every word he speaks, every action he takes, every thought he makes automatically comes from his spirit or his mind of agape. And that's why we never have to question it. Because his motive or his action will never be anything but agape. Psalm 19:7-8 says, "The Torah of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making the wise simple. The precepts of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Yahweh are clear, giving light to the eyes," right? So that's why, how can his Torah ever be done away with? Because the Torah is part of his character. It's a Torah of agape. Every law is made from Yahweh's character and his language of agape. Yahweh's language is not Hebrew or Aramaic or in any form of spoken language, right? Spoken language is inanimate, but Yahweh's language is not. It is a language in faith, in deed, in righteousness, and truth. So that's what his language is, a language of faith and deed and righteousness and truth. 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we have known his love toward us," his agape, "because that one laid down his life for us, and on behalf of the brethren, we ought to lay down our lives. But whoever has worldly possessions and sees his brother in need and shuts up his mercy on him, how is the agape of Elohim in him? My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth." So if we are speaking this language of agape, this would never happen. We would never, if automatically it would be, "I have 2 coats, my brother has none, give him one." You know, it would automatically be this kind of thing. The language speaks in what we do and not what we say. It's a language of faith. It's a language of deeds, not the language of words. And it is the purest caring for our brother as ourself. Remember the 2 greatest commandments. Love Yahweh with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So you can't do that without speaking Yahweh's language. Because again, the love of the world is not the love of Yahweh. It's a different type. It's a totally different type. Only through Yahweh's Ruach can we start to understand his language, his pure language. Language is simply an avenue for communication. You know, that's basically all it is. It helps us to communicate. In agape, everything is communicated by true righteousness of the Spirit of Yahweh, rejecting our human nature corrupted by Satan. So I find it pretty neat, as we have congregations all over the world, You know, like I said, just in this tiny little room, we have people from the north, south, east, and west, from all over the place. And yet people can't understand how I could travel to east, you know, to Thailand or Philippines, or I can travel down south to Africa, you know, to Kenya or Ethiopia, or I could travel north, you know, up to the nations up in Europe and these other places, or I could travel all the way to the west, to United States, to Nicaragua, South America. And I go and I don't speak the language of any of these people. And yet, we do speak the same language. We speak the language of agape. So people can't understand it. You're an American. How are you like this with these people? You know, why is there so much warmth? Why is there so much feeling there? And it's because we are speaking the same language. We're speaking the language of agape. Language is an avenue for communication, and we're doing that through that. Everything is communicated by true righteousness and the Spirit of Yahweh, rejecting our human nature that's corrupted by Satan. So that's the key. You can't speak two languages at the same time. And actually, as we'll see, when the kingdom comes, there is no translation. Either you speak agape or you're not there. Everybody there will be speaking the same language. Everybody will be one, as we read here in the Torah reading over here. Matthew 5, in verse 38. And Yeshua actually taught this language to his disciples. And it's a very unconventional language. It doesn't have the syntax and the rules like you see with normal languages, but it has more power than any spoken language in the world. So here Yeshua is teaching this language. Matthew 5, starting in verse 38, he says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not stand against the evil, but whoever strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. And to him desiring to sue you and take your coat, allow him also to have the cloak. And whoever shall compel you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. He asking you to give and he wishing to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those cursing you. Do well to those hating you, and pray for those who take you by force and persecute you, so that you may become sons of your Father in heaven. Because he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those loving you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you only greet your brothers, what exceptional thing do you do? Do not the tax collectors do the same? Therefore you become perfect, complete, even as your Father in heaven is complete," right? So this is why he's trying to teach us his language, because you can't become like him unless you know his language. How many people are you very close with? How many people can you have a great relationship with? How many people do you have a wonderful conversation with if you can't speak the language with? So if we're going to communicate with him, we have to learn the language that he speaks. We have to learn the language that he speaks. The language of agape, to become like him, to think like him, to feel like him, to love like him. Luke 23 and verse 13. Luke 23 and verse 13. And let's see language here that is of human nature. Luke 23 and verse 13. And having called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, Pilate said to them, "You brought this man to me as perverting the people. And behold, examining him before you, I found nothing blamable in this man regarding that which you charge against him. But neither did Herod, for I sent him up to him. And behold, nothing worthy of death is done by him. Then chastising him, I will release him." And he had to release to them one at the feast. And they all together shouted, saying, "Take this one and release Barabbas to us." He who was thrown into prison due to some revolt and murder occurring in the city. Then Pilate again called out, desiring to release Yeshua. But they shouted, saying, "Crucify, crucify him." And a third time he said to him, for what evil did he do? Did this one do? I found no cause of death in him, therefore chastising him, I will release him. But with loud voices they insisted, asking for him to be crucified, and their voices and that of the chief priests prevailed. Right? More people spoke that language than spoke Yahweh's language. And Pilate commanded their request to be granted, and they released to them the one thrown into prison due to revolt and murder, whom they said, but he delivered Yeshua to their will. So we have to understand, we're living in a world where people speak the language of the G-O-D of this world. They're not speaking Yahweh's language. And what was Yeshua's response? He spoke to them in his own language. Verse 33 and verse 34. And when they came to a certain place which is called Skull, they crucified him there, and those doers of evil, one at his right and one at his left. And Yeshua said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And dividing his garments, they cast a lot. So even as he's being crucified, and even as they are spewing hatred in their language of human nature, of Satan the devil, Yeshua answers still in agape. Everything he said was in agape, because that's the only language that him and the Father know. They don't know any other language. And that's the language we have to learn. If you're going to communicate with Yahweh, if you're going to pray to Yahweh, if you're going to have a relationship with him, if you're going to have conversation, you have to learn his language. You have to learn his language. Matthew 12 and verse 34. Says, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things, right? Because they're speaking Satan's language, human nature. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is our language? Is our language human nature, or is our language agape? So the New Testament was written totally in agape. The New Testament is written totally in agape, not written in Greek, Aramaic, or Hebrew. It's written in agape. All the rest are translations. The pure language is the language of agape. Let's look. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4. Verse 17. And we will read it in the original agape. Therefore I say to you and testify in Yahweh that you no longer walk even as the rest of the nations walk in vanity of their mind, having been darkened by their intellect, being alienated from the life of Elohim, because they have no knowledge, which is because of the hardness of their heart, who having cast off all feeling, surrendered themselves up to lust, right? Not to agape, not to the spirit of Yahweh, but they surrendered themselves up to lust. And to the practice of all uncleanness with a desire for more and more, right? That's the language of human nature. But that is not what you have been taught in Messiah. If indeed you heard him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Yeshua, lay aside all former practices and put off the old man. Stop speaking the old language. Having been degenerated with deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We'll be going over this in the class this week. This is going to be one of our classes, right? Being renewed in the spirit of mind, and to put on the new man who is created by Elohim in righteousness and true holiness, in agape. Therefore, put away from you lying, and speak the truth, each with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil a chance. The one stealing, let him steal no more, but rather let him labor, working what is good with the hands, that he may have something to give to the one who has need. Right? So it's not enough just not to do bad. In Yahweh's language, you have to do good. That's what the language is. It's not enough just not to do something bad. It's doing something proactive, something good. Let not any evil word go out from your mouth. Why? Because the importance of words. But words that are good and useful for edification, that it may impart a blessing to those who hear them. This is what we were saying. Our words give life. Or, in human nature, your words can take life. Your words can give life, or your words can take life. Like with Adam. Adam became a living soul. Do you want to just suck the life out of the air you're breathing, or do you want to become like Yeshua, a life-giving spirit? And do not grieve the Ruach HaKodesh of Elohim, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and turmoil and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice, right? It's not in Yahweh's language. They don't even have words for that. It's not even there. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Elohim has forgiven us through Messiah. So, in other words, he's saying, speak his language of agape. That's what he's telling us. Speak his language of agape. We must not speak in the language of our human nature any longer, but the language of agape. In Hebrew, every word comes from a two or three letter root word, and that's why there's not a whole lot of words in Hebrew compared to other languages, because those two or three letter root words will make like 30 words concerning the same thing. So whether it's the word for school, school book, teacher, student, all of them come from the same root. And just a matter of what, you know, prefix you put on or suffix you put on is where the word comes from. The new language, though, only has one root. Love. Agape. That's the only root. There's one root. And every word, every action, every thought stems from it. So it's a really easy language to learn. Because there's only one root. If you want to really learn it. All it takes is surrender. Surrender of your corrupted language that you're speaking now. To learn Yahweh's language. Zephaniah 3 and verse 9. We just had this, right? For then I will give a clear lip or a pure language to the people to call all of them by the name of Yahweh to serve him with one shoulder. What is he talking about? Because your head you can turn, your knees you can turn, your arms you can turn, but your shoulders is where you're going. Shoulders, you don't turn. There you go, straight where you're going to. And that's what he's saying. Everybody is going to be going on the same path. Everybody is going to be speaking the same language. And this is the language he's talking about. Everybody will be speaking the language of agape. The language of agape has only light. There's no darkness in the language. There's nothing of that. It has only faith. There's no fear. There's no fear. No word for fear in this language. It has only love. There's no words for hate, for revenge, or bitterness. So this is the language we have to learn. And I want to go over what we went over in our class for a couple of minutes, for the benefit of the brethren who were not here with us. And it's from Dr. Emoto's scientific experiment that he did, which is really amazing when you think about this, you know. I hope you get a copy of this. I'm happy to send it to you. And really, really think about this. This is, because this is powerful. Like, we think of words just as inanimate, you know, you say a word and okay, you know. But to think of what words really do, to think of that words change the universe. They change our being. You know, like I said, look at Lucifer, who became Satan by words. He went from the light giver, this beautiful creature, into this ugly, ugly gargoyle thing, you know, because of words. Because the thought becomes a word, the word becomes an action, and then we give that. So, what was Dr. Emoto's scientific experiment? Revealing the astonishing response of water to positive words. So, what he did was, he took water and crystallized it, you know, froze it, and by taking a container of water like this, and putting on it the word love or the word thank you, the water comes out in beautiful crystals. How beautiful it is. But when they put words on there like hate and whatever, what happened? They came out all distorted. They came out all corrupted. Water from clear mountain springs and streams had beautifully formed crystal structures, while the crystals of polluted or stagnant water were deformed and distorted. Distilled water exposed to classical music took delicate, symmetrical, crystalline shapes. When the words thank you were taped to a bottle of distilled water, the frozen crystals had a similar shape to the crystals formed by the water that had been exposed to Bach's Goldberg variation. Music composed out of gratitude to the man it was named for. How important music is, we're going to talk a lot about that this week with neural associations. Water samples so that were bombarded with heavy metal and labeled with negative words, even words like Adolf Hitler. The water did not form crystals at all and displayed chaotic, fragmented structures. Wow. So what we see is, from his experiment, that even the thought of failure itself becomes represented in the physical objects that surround us. And that's why when you have a child, you don't say, don't spill the milk, don't spill the milk, don't spill the milk, because the mind has to think of spilling the milk before thinking of not spilling it. What you say is, be careful. Be careful. So we see that words can bring the thought of failure itself becomes represented in the physical objects that are around us. Now that we have seen this, perhaps we can begin to realize that even when immediate results are invisible to the unaided human eye, they're still there. When we send love, it responds back to us, right? When you send love, it responds back. We can begin to really understand the awesome power that we possess through choosing our thoughts and intentions, and even the process of healing if we only believe. Here we had a miracle last night, and it shows us that, right? How important are our words? And again, if this can be done to water, and it's a scientific experiment, right? It's a fact. And what does it do to us, who are 60 to 70% water? Right? So to me, this is groundbreaking, but this is only the beginning. Because we see that Yahweh is in everything in the universe. Everything in the universe has consequences, and everything in the universe is from Him. And as long as you are speaking His language, your life is going to be formed in spirits of appreciation, spirits of faith, spirits of spiritual growth. You know, all these things are going to come. But if not, if you have all these things that bring disruption, you know, doubt and fear and all the other things, what's going to happen? You're going to look like those distorted crystals, because we are water. And literally, it will make you sick. The experiment suggests that water is not merely a passive element, but a responsive to the energy and intentions directed toward it. It implies that our words and thoughts can have a tangible impact on the world around us, even on something as fundamental as water, which to me, it's only the beginning. It challenges us to consider the power of our words and the intentions we carry in our hearts, not only in how we communicate with each other, but also in how we interact with the environment, right? Because again, we're destroying the environment as human beings, the ecosystems and all the things that Yahweh has. So, words of power. You know, when Yeshua came up to somebody and said, you know, your faith has healed you. When he said to a cripple, walk, you know, and they walked. These are words, the words that gave life. And are our words every day giving life? You'll be judged by every idle word, right? You'll be judged by every useless word. Are we taking that serious enough? Are we thinking about how our words can heal or how our words can make somebody sick? The language of agape. It highlights the potential for positive change and healing that lies within our capacity to use language and intentions wisely and with love. So as we reflect on this experiment, it encourages us to cultivate a greater awareness of the energy we project into the world and the impact it can have on interconnected web of life. It underscores the power of positivity and the potential for transformation through consciousness and loving communication. So every word we give is either giving life or taking life. Are we thinking about that? Are we thinking about it daily? Are we thinking about, because we're not just another human being. We are human beings that have the Spirit of Yahweh in us. And He has given us the power to change this world. That's what we're going to be doing when He returns. We're going to be kings and priests. So are we developing into that? by developing the language of agape. Because again, in the kingdom, that's the only language. You won't have to worry. There'll be a lot of things to learn in the kingdom, but you're not going to have to worry about learning a language. Either you're going to know that language of agape and be there, or not. So if you don't know the language, you're not going to be there in the kingdom. The human mind is greater than any computer ever made. Your body is a printout of your thoughts. And like I said, I could, or not me or anybody, can they could hypnotize somebody and put an ice cube in your hand and tell you that it's fire, and literally your hand will burn. That's the power of positive thinking, or thinking, just the power of belief that's there. The power of belief that Yahweh has given us, that Satan has corrupted by his human nature. And that's all the what ifs. That's all the buts, right, that he tries to bring in. Satan has corrupted by his human nature, teaching us not a pure language, but a language of pride, a language of doubt, a language of fear, a language of selfishness, a language of greed. But again, none of those words are in Yahweh's language. They don't exist. They're not there. It's like we said, even in Hebrew, there's black and there's white, there's no gray. There's no gray in Hebrew. These words do not exist in Yahweh's language. And if you have these words in your mind, they will manifest in your life. The same way, look at that water, look at those crystals, that is a reality. That if you have in your mind pride, doubt, fear, selfishness, greed, it's going to manifest in your life. That's what your life will become. You will become the words you speak and the thoughts of your mind. And that's why we have to take every thought into captivity in the obedience of Messiah. We'll be going over it this week. You have to take every thought into captivity because you have to stop speaking Satan's language. And you have to keep speaking only the language of agape. Yeshua healed the sick. He cleansed the leper. He made the blind see. He raised the dead by the power of belief. Hebrews 11:6, which has become our motto for our school, our class here this year. But without faith, it is impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And when you really believe, when you have faith, then you're going to know there's a reward there. You're going to do it. Everything in life is pain and pleasure. So if you're not doing something, you have to say to yourself, maybe I'm really not believing enough. Why is it impossible to please Yahweh without faith? Because you can't communicate with Yahweh without it. You have to speak agape. And that's what agape is. It's a language of faith. Right? Doubt, fear, that's not in this language. If you say it, Yahweh will know what you're talking about. But faith is the core. That is the root in that language. So it's impossible to please him without it because you can't communicate. You can't speak his language without it. Luke 8, in verse 43. Luke 8. Verse 43. And a woman being in a flow of blood from 12 years, who had spent her whole living on physicians and could not be cured by anyone. So it's pretty interesting, right? Not that she just had this for 12 years, but spent all her money on physicians. And couldn't be cured. Nobody could cure her. And coming up behind, she touched the tassel of Yeshua's garment. And instantly the flow of her blood stopped. And Yeshua said, "Who was touching me?" And all denying it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the crowds press and push on you, and you say, 'Who was touching me?'" But Yeshua said, "Someone touched me, for I knew power went out from me." And seeing that she was not hidden, the woman came trembling and kneeled down before him and told him before all the people for what reason she touched him and how she was instantly cured. And look at his answer. And he said to her, daughter, be comforted. Your faith has given you life. Go in peace. Your faith has given you life. Faith is what gives us life, because Yahweh is life, right? And we have to believe that. And again, I pray that we're learning the difference of hope and faith. You know, like I say, because faith will always bring an action. We must live by the language of love and faith in every thought we have, and it must be the only language we know. And we have to be convicted with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Can't speak two languages, right? Can't serve two masters. So we have to make sure that we're only speaking Yahweh's language. We have to be convicted with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. 2 Corinthians 10 in verse 3. says, for though we do live in earthly life, yet we do not serve worldly things. I love that scripture. For though we do live in earthly life, we do not serve worldly things. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but of the power of Elohim to the demolition of strongholds. Right? What is the stronghold in your life? This is what we're coming to break down. Casting down imaginations and every false thing, lifting itself up against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Messiah. Like I said, we will be getting into that deeply in our class this week. Casting down imaginations and every false thing, lifting up itself against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Messiah. You have to not only know the language of agape, you've got to master it, right? You've got to be a master at that language. You have to know it from the inside out. You don't only want to be able to communicate by it, you want to be a master of it. We have to purify our language and remove from it all thoughts of pride, vanity, selfishness, and fully surrender to the Ruach HaKodesh, and you will have the greatest transformation of your life. We must rebuke any thought that Satan tries to send, right? All the what ifs, you got to rebuke it. And only speak agape. It has to be your only thoughts. Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no instruction, right? There's no instruction against any of that. We should be growing in it. But the ones belonging to Messiah crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. Right? And what is it? A spirit of agape. That's what Yahweh is. It's not just the language he speaks, it's what he is. It's what he is. And it's what he wants us to become. Just like learning any new language, we have to take the time to practice, right? Let us live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. But like with learning a new language, you don't learn it overnight. But you got to practice it, you know? They don't have agape on Duolingo. You got to practice it, though, every day. Maybe we'll make our own, we'll call it Trilingo. And we'll have PowerPoints and all that for the agape language. Philippians 4. So let's take a look at Yahweh's language of agape. Like I said, gotta practice it. No other way. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again, I say rejoice. Praise Yahweh. We'll be doing praise and worship after this, and we'll be rejoicing. Let your humility be known to all men. Our master is at hand, right? So it's also, there's no pride in this language. And because when you really realize what you are, and you could see Yahweh for what he is, it brings the greatest form of humility you could ever have in your life. And that's why Paul said, where is the boasting? There is no boasting. There's nothing you think you're doing is of you. Because you know it's all him. It's all from his spirit and his language. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and by petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Elohim. So even during the trials, we have to be thanking him during these trials because we're always learning something from them. And the trials are the greatest form of a gift that he's giving us. Because without the trials, what are we really learning? Right? Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and by petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Elohim. And the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will give your hearts and your minds through Messiah Yeshua. The peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, and his language of agape passes all understanding. Loving your enemies? Praying for those who despitefully use you? Here it is, Yeshua, after what he just went through. You know, in his mind, you think he's thinking, boy, I can't wait for that white throne judgment. I'm remembering this guy. I'll remember him. Nope. He's up there speaking agape. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No revenge. No revenge in Yahweh's language. And the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Yeshua Messiah. Finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things, right? No reviling for reviling, no gossip, no speaking back. But whatever is honest, true, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if any virtue and any praise, think on these things. And what things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, practice these things, and the Elohim of peace will be with you. Practice these things. You can't learn the language of agape without practice. You need to practice. You have to practice it. Repetition is the mother of skill. We must practice this language daily. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. We must rebuke pride and anger and embrace faith, truth, love, honesty, and praise. And like I said, repetition is the mother of skill. So as you do this over and over and over, all of a sudden it will be normal to you. Like I said, just like a language, you can't translate it. You can't take it from Satan's human nature, corrupted human nature language, and try to translate it into agape. It doesn't work like that. You never learn it. You have to just keep practicing, 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 and then all of a sudden it's a part of you. Automatically it's going to come out. You don't even think about it because it's the rock in you that's given to you. Last scripture, 1 John 3. What an amazing scripture. Because like I said, if you want a relationship with Yahweh, you got to speak his language. And this is not only the language he speaks, it's what he is. It's his character. It's what his rock is. It's what he is. And now, look at what it says here, if this doesn't blow your mind. 1 John 3, see what manner of agape the Father has given to us, that we may be called sons of Yahweh, who made us. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of Yahweh, and it was not yet revealed what we shall be. Right? We look through a glass half darkened. We don't see exactly what we're going to be in that day. Beloved, we now are the children of Yahweh, and it is not yet revealed what we shall be. But we know that if he is revealed, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he is. Wow. So he is agape. That's what he is. And he wants to create us to be agape. We are his children. And think about this when you're thinking about the great human potential. That we don't know so much about what Yeshua was for eternity. We know he was always there. There's many scriptures that say he wasn't created. He was there for eternity with the Father. But we have no idea in what aspect it was, right? We know he's Yahweh's messenger in the first covenant. We see scriptures of that. We see him appearing to Manoah and to Manoah's wife. We see him appearing to Gideon, right? But again, these are all like mysteries that we see. It's all mysteries. And he never gives his name. But we do know one thing. We do know that Philippians tells us he gave up that eternal divinity. When he became a human being, that was it. Everything changed from him. That eternal existence that he had with the Father forever changed. And he did it for one reason. He did it to be the first one of us. That's what it says in Hebrews. He didn't just become like the cherubs, but he became a seed of Adam to become one of us. So Yeshua changed his eternal existence that he had with the Father so that he could be the first one of the born of the dead, and here we are. And that's what Yahweh is saying. I want to create you in that same image. I want you. Look, you have your older brother. Look what he did. Look at how I put him as a human being so that you could see what it is. So that we could learn that language. And now we will step in his footsteps. And we can become the spirit of agape like he is the spirit of agape. Beloved, now we are the children of Yahweh, and it was not yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he is. And everyone having this hope on him purifies himself as that one is pure. That is our hope. We will be like Yeshua. We will be sons of Elohim, like it says in Psalm 82. Wow, what a great potential. And what a sacrifice that Yeshua did to change his eternal existence by putting his divinity on the side and coming down in a human body for 32, 33 years. And that's why Yahweh says forever now. Because of that sacrifice, and because he became human, and because he was sick, and he suffered, and all these things he did for 32, 33 years, he got hungry, he got tired, he got cold, and then before his death, he was abused and mocked and beaten and crucified. That's why Yahweh said, forever, from that sacrifice, his name will always be the name above all names. And he only did it so that we could walk in his footsteps. So we don't know. We don't know exactly where we're going to be. But we know what Yeshua is, and we know we're going to be like him because we're going to see him as he is. We're made in his image. And now we got to learn his language. We got to learn his language. He healed the blind. We have to have eyes to see. He healed the deaf. We have to be able to speak that language. We have to be able to walk it every day of our life. Everyone having this hope on him purifies himself, even as that one is pure. Everyone practicing sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is the breaking of the Torah. So that's the language of Satan. That's the language of human nature. And you know that he was revealed that he might take away our sins, and sin is not in him. Talking about Yeshua, of course. Everyone remaining in him does not practice sin. Everyone practicing sin has not seen him or known him. Little children, let no one lead you astray. The one practicing righteousness is righteous, even as that one is righteous. The one practicing sin is of the devil, because the devil sins from the beginning. For this, the Son of Yahweh was revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Everyone who has been begotten of Elohim does not practice sin, because his seed abides in him, and he is not able to sin, because he has been begotten of Elohim. By this, the children of Yahweh are distinguished from the children of the devil, right? Because they speak two different languages. Whoever does not practice righteousness and does not love his brother, right, doesn't speak agape, does not belong to Elohim. Because this is the message which you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That's the message he speaks. That's the message he's teaching us. Yahweh is agape. We are made in his image. We must grow in his likeness. Through the Ruach HaKodesh, we can become agape as Yeshua is agape. We must practice, though, and focus on this every day of our lives, as our body is a printout of our thoughts. Your body is a printout of your thoughts. And that's why when we go into our neuro-associated conditioning class, we're going to talk about physiology. You know, the way we stand, the way we look, the way our body is. It all tells. It all tells a story. Our body is a printout of our thoughts. We will see him as he is, and we will be akkad with him because we will speak the same language that he speaks. We can't do this unless we practice that language every day. Yahweh is agape, and we are growing to be agape. Are you moving in that direction? Are you learning another word of that language every day? Because that's the way you do it, you know. You start with a little basis, and then every day you say, I'm going to learn another word. I'm going to learn another word when you're learning a language, right? Are you learning another word of the language of agape every day? Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom. Okay, so we have been talking about the language of agape. And you can't talk about the language of agape without going to 1 Corinthians 13. So in 1 Corinthians 13, if I should speak in every language of men and with cherubs, but I do not have agape, I have become as a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. So you could speak every language in the world, and if you're not speaking the language of agape, you're not speaking any language. And if I have all prophecies and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I do not have agape language, in my heart I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to the poor and I surrender my body that I may boast, but I do not have agape language in my heart, I am not profited anything. Agape language has patience, is kind, is not envious, love does not make a vain display of itself, does not boast, it does not behave indecently, does not pursue its own things, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. The word evil is not even in the language. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Agape love quietly covers all things, believes all things, it's the gateway to faith, hopes all things, endures all things. Agape never fails. But if there are prophecies, they will be caused to cease. If languages, they will cease. This is the only language that's going to be left. If knowledge, it will be caused to cease. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect comes, then that which is imperfect will come to an end. When I was an infant, I spoke baby language, right? I spoke like an infant. I thought as an infant. I reasoned as an infant. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a mirror in dimness, but then we will see Yahweh face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will fully know, even as I am fully known. And now faith, hope, and agape. These three things remain, but the greatest of these is the language of agape. Yahweh bless.